All right. And that is a great segue. Today, we are talking about overcoming overwhelm, which, as far as coaching conversations go, is probably one of the most powerful that we can have. If we're honest, we often feel overwhelmed. The science backs me on this. The average American pre-COVID spent 70% of their day in a stress state, feeling some level of stress and the related feelings that come with it. I can't even imagine that it's not higher at this point. Would you agree with me? So when we think about how do we turn that stress into success, how do we actually get to a place where our mouse actually works? Look at that. Here we go. How do we get to a place where we can actually do what we all really want to do, if we're honest, and that is just enjoy the ride? Oh, we just want to enjoy the ride. We want to be effective. We want to be efficient. We want awesome economics. Like, anybody here not want those things? But what we want more than anything along the way is to enjoy the ride. And if you think, as you're starting out, that as soon as you hit that next level of success, whatever it is, that the ride gets easier and funner, Adam can tell you it doesn't. It's about who you are when you're taking that ride. It's about how we engage with ourselves and the circumstances that we have, which is really what overwhelm is about. So here's today's invitation. One, you're going to learn how to jump out of the overwhelm cycle. Like, how do I find myself in that oh crap moment, right? I call it the oh shiznit moment, where you're like, ah, it's too much. I can't do it. What was I thinking? Who else has had that moment? Yeah, the rest of you are liars. You're just fibbers. Like, come on. Like, yes, you're grinning nods. That's right. We all have those moments. So how do we acknowledge that? And how do we jump out of the overwhelm cycle? How do we embrace boundaries, presence, and energy management? God, doesn't that just sound good? Can you guys just say that with me? I embrace boundaries, presence, and energy management. Can you guys all unmute your phones? I want everyone to say that together because it feels really good right now. Everybody, on the count of three, are you ready? Adam, you're on the faculty, so you have to do this. You have to, and I expect to hear your voice. Are you ready? Three, two, one.
I embrace energy management.
Your timing is, oh my God, you guys are the worst. This is not limitless. Okay, here's the
wedding vows.
The more limitless you try and make it, the more of a train wreck it's going to be.
Not going to count backwards. Count of three. One, two, three. After, not on three, after I say three, we're going to say, I embrace boundaries, presence. Ready? One, Andrew, Adam, you're welcome to take over anytime. One, two, three.
I embrace boundaries, presence, energy management.
Okay, you guys are going to want to work on that, but you get the idea.
Everybody's right. Bandwidth, like everybody's bandwidth, is a little bit different. So I'm
that's even, right.
It's that quarter second is right.
It's the internet. Adam said. All right, now go ahead. You can mute if you want. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to just say that either out loud or just in your inner mind voice, genuinely, calmly say, "I embrace boundaries, presence, and energy management." Doesn't that in and of itself feel good, different, and better than potentially just how we all started this call together? And if we don't deal with that on an incremental basis, then it builds up and it creates burnout, anxiety, right? Depression, like bad stuff. And so we really want to talk about what's the surefire antidote to burnout, which is learning how to address your overwhelm before it becomes overwhelm. All right, are you guys ready for this conversation? Because mostly what Adam and I want is for you to feel more like this every single day. Doesn't mean that there aren't tough days, doesn't mean there aren't challenging circumstances, but it means that even in those moments that you own and have agency over your experience in a way that you feel positive and good about, that even when it's hard, you know it's hard for a reason and for a purpose, and that there's intention and an outcome, so that you can still feel good along the way. Because if we don't give ourselves permission to do that, then there's no success that's ever going to feel satisfying. So here are some things to think about. What is the definition of insanity, Adam?
The conventional version that we say is that it's doing the same thing over and over again. But as I have said many times, the first time that I heard it phrased differently was on your interview with Michael on episode 24 of his podcast, which is no problem can be solved with the same consciousness that created it.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. If we show up every day with the best of intentions, but we apply the same behavioral practices, Andrew, what are we going to get? A different result or the same result?
Same thing.
Same thing, right? So we all know this definition, but to Adam's point, no problem can be solved with the same consciousness, which means that step one is we have to elevate our consciousness if we want to elevate our results. So you guys know this, but I really want to just reground you in the idea that the reason that we find ourselves on the couch instead of the gym is that we're navigating all the internal noise in our head. You are stepping into the ring with your stories every single day. So if you have, do, or have ever experienced overwhelm, understand that it has absolutely zero, nada, zip to do with your circumstances and everything to do with what you tell yourself about those circumstances. So you guys have heard me say this 1,000 times. We have on average, right, 12 to 60,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative. 95% of them are on a replay loop, which means that your brain, your body, your system, your whole world are hardwired for survival. You are hardwired for the most part to feel this way. And then we get in these negative pattern loops. It's not about the clients. It's not about the time. It's not about your email. It's not about the quality of your staff or your location. It is 100%, we're going to back on the science, it's 95% about the quality of your habit loops. And your habit loops are driven by your thought habits. Like, do I feel good enough? Am I in approving mode? Can I say no with clarity and confidence? Or am I compromised by my lack of ability to show up that way? So I want you to just understand, take that breath. The takeaway from here is that it's those negative patterns of thought that set us up for overwhelm. It's not the stuff on your to-do list. It's the story that you tell yourself about the to-do list and the strategy that got you there in the first place. Leo, Ed, Andrew, Stephanie, right? You don't just wake up one day and the client doesn't go, everything's great. Take my money, put it in the mattress now. How did they get there? Right? The windy wheel of worry, uncertainty turns, right? Doubt turns to uncertainty, turns to stress, turns to anxiety, turns to, oh my God, I have to call Andrew and tell him to put my money in a mattress. It's a cycle that builds and builds. And those cycles, it turns out, are based on our stories. The biggest discovery in behavioral science in 100 years, it's actually a little bit longer, is that events have no meaning. You've heard me say this, but I want to really ground you all in this. You're now 7 months into the program. You have no shortage of opportunities, pain points, problems, and possibilities that you can solve. And your brain wants to go firecrackers everywhere. I get it. But I need you to understand that that in and of itself is a strategy based on a story that you can't handle it. And you totally can. Utterly get clear on what you need to do, get focused on the priorities that are going to move the needle and then get to work doing it. But you can't do that if you operate in a state of stress and overwhelm. So we start with time and mindset, because if we are not present and really positive, empowered, as we like to say, in that success state, then nothing good happens. Events don't have any meaning, but the stories we tell ourselves about those meanings are so powerful. Adam used to charge $600 for a financial plan. That is not because the research said that was the average fee. Adam, why did you charge $600? Like, what was the story in your head about clients and you and your value and your worth that you thought $600 is the magic number?
I'm so glad you brought up one of the most embarrassing numbers in my professional career, but thank you for doing that again.
You can count on me for that every single time. Here, I'm such a team player.
Like the longer the time is from when I did that to now, the more painful it is to hear that. So I guess we'll just keep doing that because it continues to remind me of the growth and the progress that can be made. I think there were a number of reasons, but the biggest reason was I wasn't clear and convicted in the value that I was delivering to clients and didn't have a belief system in place that substantiated or that backed that up. I was floating aimlessly and I did whatever I thought would get a yes. There was nothing grounding me in it.
if you think that you're not worth it at some level, the idea of charging more is going to overwhelm your brain for all the obvious reasons. So overwhelmed, by the way, isn't just I have more on my I call it the task list tsunami. Does anyone have one of those? Just like, right, the tsunami is like 100 feet high and the building's only this big and no matter what, you're going to drown. And that's just because task lists are just a rotating revolution of stuff we say we want to do to get to our priorities. Like, it's a really awful yardstick, but we use that. So if events don't have a meaning and the only meaning that we have is a story, then I want you to understand that overwhelm has a job. Overwhelm is a strategy of your brain. And what might the job of your brain be? To protect you, right? What is the number one job of your limbic system right here in the back of your brain? Number one job of your caveman brain. Do not die. Don't die. Absolutely. Do not die. Not thrive. Be prosperous. Have joy and meaning and purpose. That's not anywhere in the caveman code. Right. And that's why you're here, because you don't want to be like Adam was literally 4.5 years ago. Right. $600, stressed out, overwhelmed, disempowered, didn't know what to do. Now, literally sitting here with me from this place of empowerment, awesome economics, great growth rate, right? Bought a plane, living his best life, nowhere to go but up. That only happened because he got on the other side of overwhelm. And you're not going to do that unless you recognize that what you're experiencing on a day-to-day basis, your efficiency, your effectiveness, and your enjoyability, those are the things we're kind of measuring all the time, are a function of what's beneath the surface. It's not about your task list. It's not about your CRM, because you all know what to do. You just haven't done it, right? And obviously you're prioritizing. So it's a process, but it's about how can you, if I said to you, you had to do your work in only 5 hours a day, how would that make you feel? Like, Ethan, as of next week, you have 5 hours a day to do whatever you've been doing in more than 5 hours a day. How does that feel?
Got to prioritize.
Right. So notice his brain went instantly to must do something, must make change. That's what overwhelm is. We get in this cycle, but instead of doing that proactively and intentionally, we let the worry wheel and the cycle build. We make those unconscious compromises. And then we have the oh shiznit moment where we're like, oh my God, this is just too much. And so it's about, can we actually, overwhelm is just a state of not being honest with ourselves about the fact that we're working over our feelings. You have heard me say no less than 100 times as of now, probably more. I'm sure it's annoying, but I promise you in like 5 years when I'm in your head, you're going to like it, which is if you cannot get to a place where you own your mind, you will always be in a state of overwhelm. And so how do you get there? How do you create that break for yourself? So overwhelm is a strategy that your brain uses to say, Adam, Ethan, Garrett, Teresa, I've been giving you clues and hey, you're slow and you're not listening. And now we have spun that up, compounded signal and signal and signal to where you're going to crack. And you're going to have some strategy for dealing with me. It might be working harder and longer. It might be having that drink at night. It might be giving up all your free time. And like, what is your strategy for coping with your working over the feeling? So this is the grounding moment where no matter how manly and macho you are, we just get to say, feelings are your friend. And I'm sorry that you have not been taught that, but feelings are your body, your mind, your consciousness, your soul. You pick one. It doesn't matter. They're your indicator, Edwin, that says, good, do more of this. This is aligned with who we are and how we want to show up in a way that works for us, the people we love, and our purpose on this planet. Go you, Edwin. And when it feels bad, Edwin, what's it saying? This is not aligned, doesn't feel good, don't like it. Please stop and pay attention. Work over the problem. And when we work over the problem, we're just compounding and the bottom of the iceberg gets heavier and heavier. And so we think, what's the big deal? I should be able to solve for this. I should be happy. I shouldn't be so overwhelmed. But what we're really dealing with is a lifetime of compounding habits, thoughts, behaviors, and beliefs that say, I'm going to accommodate. I'm not going to account for this. I'm going to work over it. And you're working over your strategies, right? You can procrastinate. You can create resistance in your relationships. You can drink. You can smoke. You can exercise to an extreme. Like pick it. It doesn't matter. And so strategies are the way that we're coping mechanisms. Some are positive and some are negative. So what I want us to do at this point is just take an overwhelm benchmark. So in the chat, did we put it in the chat already, Allison?
Not yet, but I can.
Allison's going to drop in the chat. You guys, I'm going to give you the worksheet. They're attached to the lesson. I'm going to ask you some basic questions. You don't need the worksheet for them, but we just want to make sure you have it. All right. Are you ready for the questions? If you've got a piece of paper, I want you to write this out just so your brain really locks onto it. On a scale of 1 to 10, please rate your experience. How easily do you get overwhelmed? 0 is I'm inflappable. Nothing can stop me. Right? The house is on fire and I'm like, no problem. 10 is my feet hit the floor and I'm already in a panic. I don't even know how I'm going to get through my day. So how easily do you get overwhelmed? Question 2, how frequently do you get overwhelmed? Scale of 1 to 10. 0 is never, man, like the sea literally has to have dried up. There's not an ounce of like, it's gonna take that. Other 10, yeah, it's Tuesday again, and it's 2 o'clock. Of course I'm overwhelmed. Like if I do this 7 times a day and twice on Sunday. Right, so 0 to 10, and 3, because no one in this group, Adam, identifies with this. How do you identify as a perfectionist? 0, like, no, I'm super chilled and laid back. I love it no matter what. I give myself no grief. It's all good. 10, if there's a course, I want the A++ course. If there's a PhD++ course in perfectionism, I will be the perfect person getting the A++ in that course. And you all can't have that degree because I already got it and I own it. Right? We know nothing of this course, by the way. And then the last question is, my overwhelm feels like, when you think about those moments, when you do genuinely feel overwhelmed, how does it feel? I call mine the whirly wheel. I haven't, you got to give it a name. The whirly wheel. Adam, do you have a name for yours?
No, I haven't gotten that.
All right. So you're going to give it a name.
Ownership right? About really it. Wheel.
Yeah.
Spin the wheels, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
the interesting thing about naming it, which is why I want you all to do it, is if you name it, then it's an object. It is not you, Ethan. Until you name it, it is your experience entirely. When I say, oh, the whirly wheel's up again, I'm like, oh, I get a little visual in my mind and I'm suddenly separated from that idea. And I'm not the whirly wheel, which means that I can sit, as we'll talk about in the second of pause, and I can take, to use Tiffany's very empowering word, I can take agency over it. It's a feeling. A feeling is nothing more than energy passing through your body. On average, the research shows it takes about 90 seconds to let that energy pass through our body with the experience, unless we have stories that it triggers, and then in which case you might hold onto that baby for years. So, do you easily get overwhelmed? Do you regularly get overwhelmed? Do you identify as a perfectionist? Do you hold yourself to higher standards than you would for anyone else? And the net result of that, by the way, is that you tend to hold other people to really high standards and learn that lesson through the science of failure. All right, so do you have a little bit of clarity about your relationship with overwhelm? This is important. It might be that you're like, Steph, Adam, like, I don't really have a big issue with this. That's great. Be a support to your members and tribe who do. Many of you will struggle with this. Many of you will feel really overwhelmed at the end of every retreat. And the reason is your brain is saying, you can, you're supposed to. Oh my God, why isn't it done yet? Leo, what's going on? And it doesn't put you in that position of like, oh my God, look how awesome I am. I'm in this program. I'm empowered. I'm picking my priorities, right? I'm doing all the stuff I need to be doing. Like, that's not the story our brain tells us. So also understand that overwhelm is that conditioned habit of whatever you're doing it from a state of lack and deficiency. Don't do that. Like, we deserve so much better than lack and deficiency. Our clients, the people we love, our work on this planet, our family, our friends, our tribe members deserve us not operating from a place of lack and deficiency. So the question we really want to ask ourselves is, why are we so overwhelmed? Are you all, this is not the most comfortable question I'm going to ask you, but how many uncomfortable questions did I ask Adam? You're going to want to ask him that. Like, it was a lot. I still ask Adam uncomfortable questions. Now, Adam sometimes asks me uncomfortable questions. That's the cool part. Why are you overwhelmed? Are you in charge? Like, for the 95% of you, you're in charge of your business. Yes? Did you wake up today with the power to choose your custodian or broker dealer? Yes. Did you wake up today with the power to pick your clients and set your fees? Yes. Did you wake up today with the power to decide that you want or don't want help and to outsource it, hire it, otherwise, right, get it? Absolutely. Did you wake up today with the ability to build processes and platforms that leverage your time and talent to like some ridiculous degree that is super duper awesome? Absolutely, you did. Are you living in the time and space when financial planning advice is as on the rise and popular and value oriented as like it has ever been, and the sea of opportunity is overwhelming you? Yes. Yes. Does anyone disagree with the yeses to any of those? What I'm trying to say is you're in charge. But we're sitting in the back seat like we're not. So if complicated, do you really not have time for this? Or is this you just being in that right state of like the wave is over me, the tsunami is on top of me, and I can't get out from under it?
I remember those conversations.
Yeah.
You guys and have the thing is, you still have some of those conversations, but the subjects just change. The problems and challenges that you're solving have a bigger and greater impact in the world. But you still need to check yourself and still understand that you're never done.
Ever. Ask Adam. We were having a conversation last week, and I was like, "Wow, I've been reflecting on the last year. Am I in my happiest, highest performance state? I don't feel like I have been. Total on. Like, here's why. Here's what I'm doing. I hired a coach. I hired a trainer. Right? I'm doing X, Y, or Z. Here's where I think I made decisions in the business that I could have made differently or better. No shame or judgment. Just here's what I've learned. Like, full on. It's been an over freaking whelming couple of years. And here's how we've been clear about it. Not being overwhelmed doesn't mean everything's always happy and rosy. It means you're dealing with stuff. You know why you're dealing with it. You know where you are, and you're empowered and moving forward in the right direction, right? If you have purpose and progress, your brain will be just fine. So just get really clear that overwhelm is a social, almost like a cultural norm at this point. It's a freaking badge of honor to be busy and stressed out and sleep 4 hours a night. Like, you're so cool. I know, because I used to do that. Now I sleep 6 or 7 hours just because I do. And it's great because I have time and space in the morning, but it's not like, ooh, oh my God, I'm so tough because of it. So we're expected to do more and more. Often when you think about time and resources, for many of you, it feels like with less and less, we are barraged by a sea of 24/7 constant information and sources. And by the way, in all of them, bad things are happening or you're lacking. Like, how often are they super awesome? And the net reality is we haven't evolved just as fast as our world. How many of you relate to this? I got a message on Voxer wondering if I received the DM they sent me about the WhatsApp, and they wanted to know if I could update that in the chat string, because then we got to update the Asana board. Like, those are all real points of communication in people's lives. Like, that's only like 50% made up. How many places do you go, have to see, have to keep up with? I have a work email. I have a personal email, right? You have all this stuff. So we live in this constant state, a barrage. And if you don't have a relationship with that incoming artillery that says its mere presence doesn't mean anything to me, it's not bad, then it's going to feel overwhelming and like you can't keep up just on the information set, much less your business, your life, and what to do about the information set. So we find ourselves in this place where we have more time and resources than we have ever, ever had, but we feel more out of control. And the number one reason for that, you guys are not going to like this at all, is it's that busyness that says we come last. We view self-care and space as soft. It's for those other people. It's not for us. It's for Steph. Well, we love it for Steph. Adam, go Adam. Like, that's so great. I love it when Adam tells me he's taking time, but I'm a little bit too busy for that. I can't actually do that. Right. So for us, self-care is that thing we'll get to when we have time, when the overwhelm is gone. And what I'm saying, sitting in that space first is what gives you time and space and presence to address the overwhelm so it doesn't perpetually surface and come back, because you're sitting in that seat when you make the choices and decisions that we talked about. As soon as Adam got clear on the path between where he was and what he needed to do, it wasn't overwhelming. It was just a series of steps that he needed to execute. The feeling might have been a lot. I'm sure Adam will tell you that sitting down and raising his fees 10x was a little scary, but it suddenly became doable. It wasn't this tsunami of stuff that he couldn't get to. So the question is, what's your overwhelm story? I want you to just ask yourself, take a deep breath. Because whether you're making $100,000 a year or $1 million or 10 million, like some of my clients, you suffer and struggle with this because it's your relationship with time and space. And none of us have mastered that. So what's your overwhelm story? And then look underneath what's happening behind that story. Almost always, it means that we're afraid of something and that something is at risk. What is that? For me, always, always, like, I'm all tearing up, like time with my family. If I get overwhelmed at work and I don't make good choices, then I feel bad and I'm sacrificing my kids and I promise myself I wouldn't do that. It might be 30 minutes of extra tribe time, right? That this starts spinning in my head. But there's always a fear, a risk, a potential loss on the other side of overwhelm. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel bad. There'd be nothing to feel bad about. Remember, it's always a story. What's your relationship with what's happening? Aside from the fact that, one, this is not elegant, but you can never put 10 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag and expect excellence, much less an awesome result. Like, you can't do it. It's not going to feel good. It's a messy analogy for a reason, right? The question is, how do we find the right bag and how do we put the right stuff in it and feel good about it along the way so we don't get to that state? When we're worried about marketing, right? You're worried you're not doing enough. You're worried that you're not doing it the right way. You're worried that you're spending money on the wrong things. You're worried that, like, oh my God, right? That overwhelm isn't about marketing. Did I do something? Did it work? No. Did I learn something valuable? Yes. Do I belong to a community that can help me through it? Absolutely. Am I going to get there? Of course I am. What's the learning here? And what's my next step? Like, it sounds so practical, right? But Leo, you know, in that moment, it's like crushing, like, what are we going to do? There's a fear under that. And if you don't understand that the fear is about doing it the right way or proving or protecting or hiding or defending, or if I don't get the next client, the business won't grow and then I'll waste money. And if I waste money, I'm a bad business person. And if I'm a bad business person, then I'm a bad human and I just don't even deserve to be here. And why would anybody pay me? What am I doing? I should just wrap it up. Yeah, I know that didn't hit home with anybody, did it? Right? We all have our version of those stories. It's a different meaning for everyone. The overwhelm is, it won't own you anymore. Then you're just sitting there saying, oh, the difference between a busy day and an overwhelming day is tied to my story. Like, I had a back-to-back day. I like to call those, as Adam has heard me say, I have full and rich days sometimes. When you have 6-hour days, you don't get a lot of buffer in them. Like, they're full and rich sometimes. Sometimes they overflow. You're like, oh, is it an I blew up story? Or is it, I made choices today and I either feel good about them or I don't. I'll evaluate how I make choices tomorrow. Like, notice how one is so emotionally charged and one is just so damn practical. Practical is practical. Fact, emotionally charged story. So if we can get past the story, we can get to the content and the facts. So you remember the exercise I'm always talking about, the four questions: what's happening? What's happening really? That's like, how do we get beyond what's happening? The surface level story. Oh, I feel this way about that. I'm overwhelmed. what's happening really. I made some choices that have more time, less time than work. And my brain is trying to reconcile what that means to me, my values in my life. It means that I'm either going to have to work late and that's not what I want to do, or it means this, or it means that. Whatever it means, it's usually bad. That's what we're ultimately dealing with, right? It's our judgments, our fears, our shoulds. And so let's talk about how we can separate those facts from stories. If you believe that you're not enough, you will always prove that you're enough. If this client comes in and they don't have questions I can answer, I'll read every book and I'll get 17 degrees and I'll make sure that I can answer every question. Right. And the stories and the strategies are different for everyone, but I want you to think about how those shoulds are sitting on your shoulders. So when I retired to Costa Rica, I went off to this yoga retreat and I apparently was like sitting there like this, which is kind of funny. And she was like, put your shoulders down. And I was like, well, if I could put my shoulders down, I wouldn't have had to move to Costa Rica. Seemed pretty obvious to me. What I realize is when I get uptight and anxiety, like when that stress and that overwhelm for me, it shows up. And then I literally, like, my neck just goes away. I just become like little shoulders. So I sometimes have to be like, where are my shoulders? And I just came up with this little phrase is like, my shoulders carry my shoulds. I should do this. I should get to this today. I should be more productive. Like, how many of you are like, ooh, I was here. I should be more productive. And then you feel bad. That should is a story that says you were deficient, Leo, bad you, which is entirely different than, wow, I recognize that I spent maybe a third of my time in email today in a way that doesn't serve me. And I'm going to just give myself a high five for noting that. And I'm going to really ask myself, what's the structure I can put in place to make sure that doesn't happen tomorrow? Because I'm awesome. Notice the difference in those stories. One is empowering, one is overwhelming and disempowering, right? So get really clear on when you're in that state of overwhelm, where are your shoulders? Where are your shoulds? What's content? What's fact? And what's feeling? What's emotionally charged that's surfacing in a way that's making it seem so uncontrollable, so disempowering? We never sit in this place and go, I got this. It is so figure outable. We feel disempowered and scared and nervous and like bad things are going to happen. And so just know that those overwhelm stories really follow a very simple model. They live always in the past or the future. They are never in the present going, Stephanie, right now, because there's no one sitting on my phone going, Adam, you didn't answer the call. You're a bad person. I'm firing you. I mean, sometimes in the grand scheme of things, those happen, but statistically, they're anomalies. So what are those stories? Are they past or future? Past is guilt, worry, right? Anxiety. Future is worry, right? Fear-based about what's going to happen. They don't set you up to win, but they are designed to protect you. So you have to get in that space of acknowledging them, clearing them and say, hey, I really appreciate that you showed up to help me, but I actually have, it's 2023. You have sticks rubbing together in a cave. I got a lighter. I got my Zippo lighter right here. No problem. And that's the new and better story, which we'll talk about. So the problem is that overwhelm is a strategy of your brain. It's a survival strategy to say, Edwin, wake up. Janet, pay attention. I need you to deal with all the stuff that you're not dealing with. You're making poor choices. You are compromising your values. You are not making decisions that align with your family the way that you said they were. Pay attention. And then when we don't, it goes ding, 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 and it will get our attention really until it does. And here's how you know you're in that state. What's it feel like? Right? These are, so drop in the chat. What are some words that you relate to when you feel overwhelmed? Yeah, Ethan, we're all good at the shooting. Frantic. I like that, Christian. I always feel like it's a frenetic. I use the phrase frenetic a lot. I'm like, I'm in that frenetic mode. Like, just knowing that separates you. So my chest feels tight, out of control. Mine sits in my chest always. It's like, failure. Failure is not a good feeling. Defeated, inundated, spinning, feeling behind, drained, deer in the headlights, burnout, exhaustion, anxiety. Are any of those empowering words? In this moment, we sit in a space of feeling like we are disempowered and we do not have agency over our situation. Like we literally have no power to improve it. And when I get on the phone with you and we break it down, there's almost always like a next, like there's yet to be a not next step. And so the question is, how do we bring that into our life? Because stress is a physiological state. It is real. These are not just semantics. When you say I'm crushed, your brain actually releases adrenaline, noradrenaline, and cortisol. When you say to your brain, I have taken on a lot of awesome opportunities and I am managing my way through the time there, your brain doesn't release those same negative stress-inducing chemicals. Like, your words and your thoughts really matter. So when you say, Adam will tell you, like, one, I literally walk around, if you hang out with me long enough, you'll hear me say things like, things are always working out for me. It just happens, right? It turns out things are usually working out for me. It's pretty awesome. If you say, I'm crushed, I'm exhausted, your brain is like, yes, we are. If I'm tired, I say, I'm happy tired. If I've had a really big day, I say, I had a rich and full day. That's what I say. I say, I had a rich and full day. Because I still, at the end of it, know I chose it and I'm blessed by it. Maybe I would like to choose differently next time, but I chose it and I'm blessed by it because I had the damn choice to be in that situation in the first. I don't give myself permission to feel bad about it. Adam can tell you, like, I'm like, here's what we're doing. Here's where, right? There's places we want to create these gaps. I know why we're there. We're executing them as quickly as we can with attention. Like, there isn't a genie in a bottle sometimes, but your state of mind is what helps you navigate that with greater ease and enjoyment, or with that efforted action that we're often talking about. So let's look at it through the lens of what's the perspective. And the perspective is really, it goes back to those mindset and are those thought habits empowering or disempowering? If you suffer regularly or intensely from overwhelm, it without question means that there are negative thought habits that we need to pay attention to, right? That there are habits and behaviors that have compounded to the place where overwhelm is our ordinary operating system. Means our body is more anxious and stressed on a regular basis physiologically. It means we don't have peace and presence and perspective to really push forward in the best of ways. So the power of perspective, I think in the, Adam, I don't know if you remember this, like way back in the marketing webinar, we love to tell the story about the, back in like, it was like 1912 in Africa, company sent two shoe salesmen to Africa in 1912, right? So the first, right, they get on the first shoe salesman gets there, and he runs around and he's like, nobody in this place has shoes. I'm coming home. There's nobody to sell shoes to. Nobody has shoes. The second shoe salesman runs around and he actually sends a wire because that was what they did back then. Ding, 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 ding. Oh my God, nobody here has shoes. I'm staying. The opportunity is extraordinary. What's the difference in those two stories? It's just the perspective. One was negativity, loss, it's overwhelming, I can't do it. And the other was, wow, there is a sea of opportunity. I need to get myself in gear. Let's do this. That's the state feeling that I really want you to connect with around this topic. All right. So what are your current strategies? Adam, as you think about I know we all still struggle, but when you really think about in the early days, right, that first year, like when you were just really stuck in that rut and then truly trying to figure out how to get out of it, what were your strategies? We talk about powering through, working longer, denial's awesome, by the way, multitasking, which we'll talk about because it doesn't actually exist. Did you grow arms? Like how did that show up for you on the other side of that empowered experience?
Yeah, I mean, everything, all the things there were, I think, how I was and a lot of people function prior to just shifting your outlook and perspective on how you tackle your business. I will say the biggest, two shifts in perspective and mindset were utilizing Asana as a way to get organized and get just everything down. I think part of the reason that we suffer from overwhelm is because we don't have a repository to dump all of the ideas that we have. Because what can happen is in the middle of work, if you're anything even remotely like me, in the middle of working on something, oh, I gotta write that, that's a good idea. Or I'll be working on a project and that will start inspiring thought about something else down the road, or it'll remind me to do this for something else. And so much of the focus can sometimes get broken. So having you and I, Steph, were talking last week about having that parking lot, or in my world, I call it my someday maybe board. And that's just any idea, anything that I have that is not worked on right now needs to get out of my head. And so what I did, and the system I built it around, was David Allen's Getting Things Done. And so that is a great book, good podcast. GTD.com, I think, is the website. Like, if you're looking for the true how, like, I know I need a time management system. I know I need to organize my life, but how do I do it? And what are the systems that I can build? GTD. And for me, utilizing Asana was a way to do that. And then the second thing that was just that pivotal shift is realizing it's not all up to me. Surround yourself with the best people that can solve the problems that you have, so that you're not thinking that it has to be just about me. Yeah. Who, not how, right? Great book, phenomenal book. Ironically enough, written by Dan Sullivan, but Dan will tell you that he did not write one word in that book. He delegated the writing of an entire book. So if Dan can delegate the writing of an entire book, I'm sure you can find someone to book your hotel room in Nashville.
Yeah, it can happen. So notice what Adam is talking about there is taking this best practice and really putting it in practice with a strategy for managing time, right? Think annual calendar, all schedule, things we've covered. But he's also talking about managing people, projects, and priorities, also a lesson that we've covered. Those are both structures that create filtering systems, priority systems. If you do not have a structure in place, a calendar, an assistant, those visions and ideas, like Ask Adam, we say this all the time around here, it's just a wish. If it is not captured in a structure or a system, it's just some really whippy idea. And that goes, as Adam shared, like Adam literally texted me last week and he's like, I sent him something. I was like, ooh, isn't this cool? We could do this. And he's like, he texted me back and he said, do you have a place to catch all these things that you're texting me? Like, ooh, what we could. And I was like, of course I do. It's the parking lot. Like, we have a whole system. He's like, oh, that's right. Like, a whole system around the parking lot. Because I had to learn that
I didn't have the admission pass to the park.
He hadn't been given the pass.
That's her environment. So
he was just like, you got this.
As she's bouncing all these ideas off of me, the operator in me and the GTD person in me is like freaking out about the Sunday maybe, the catch all, like there's gotta be, you can't process all this. You can't keep our minds are great RAM, but they're not good memory, to use that computer analogy. Grateful to hear that she had a parking lot.
That's why systems are so important. If you don't have a process for prioritizing and placement, your brain, your habits will say, Christian, Nick, Doug, now is the time. It's a good idea. And if we don't do it, there's an opportunity cost. There's a loss. And since we don't have a process for prioritizing, we prioritize now. Now feels great. We're also going to prioritize that other thing and that client problem and that family. But right now, this is going to just get heaped on the list because we have a sense of urgency and we don't have a system for surfacing priorities, putting them in their place, right? And pushing them down the pipe that we feel good about. So this conversation is so, you know, it's mindset, it's intangible and invisible. But what I love about Adam's example is that's what we're always trying to balance, is the theory has the tactic, right? The best practice has the in practice, the mindset has the method. It's about bringing all of those things to bear. And then the real question is, what's the strategy that you're using? So it might be something else, but I want you to drop in the chat, what's the number one strategy? And no, growing arms is not a strategy. If it were, I would have done it, mastered it, and trademarked that stuff, and I'd be selling that to you, but that is not what we're doing. So what is your go-to strategy? Is it, right, working over? Is it procrastinating so the list just gets bigger? Is it delegating? Like, hey, I've got, you know, Adam, like, is this done, right? Working longer and powering through, nights and weekends, skipping the gym, need another brain, working longer, take a trip. Love that. Meditation. Love that. Walking the dog to de-stress, prioritizing. So that's a really good lead into when you think about overcoming overwhelm. Is there anything I've shared with you that seems wildly unrealistic, untrue, or like you're like, Stephanie, blasphemy, I have no idea what you're talking about? Makes perfect sense, right? So why don't we do it? Why do we not take agency over our time, our right, people, process, and priorities, and put ourselves in a situation where we're set up to succeed? And the answer is because by the age of 35, A couple of you have a few more years, but for most of us, by the age of 35, we are a hardwired set of pre-programmed habits and behaviors, like the die is cast. Now, the good news is all the neuroscience shows that you can actually change your brain. They didn't think you could do that. They used to think like that was it. This was your personality and you were stuck with it. But the idea is our brains focus on a factor, our negative things on a factor of 7 to 1, which means when we see that task list, are we going to say, wow, we have a lot of great clients who have great things they want to ask, and we're going to need a better system for prioritizing? Or we to go, shiznit, how am I going to get that done? I'm going to be so lame. I suck at this. I don't know why anyone pays me. I should just fold up now before I lose all my clients. Get eaten by a hungry bear. Die. Michael's laughing, so I know you feel me. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. We spend so much of our time in that stressed out state because our brain wants to stay stuck there because it thinks it's saving us. It thinks it's saving us. So here's what we're going to do. What is the antidote? Number one, any guesses? I put it on the screen for you. Does anyone see the screen?
Breathe.
Breathe. That is literally the answer. To breathe. Just breathe. Why is breathing step one always?
Take you out of fight or flight.
Yep. When you are in a state of overwhelm, whether at a minor level or an intense level, depending on how long you hang out here, you are absolutely 100% in a state of fight or flight. Your brain is saying, right, we have to fight or we have to run. And in most of our lives, that's not an option in the modern world, right? I cannot attack my task list and win and make it go away, right? I can't run away from it. That also does not solve my problem, right? Or we freeze, which is what procrastination and distraction are, by the way. There's strategies for just ignoring the problem because we don't know what to do, right? Or we're so afraid of what doing it means. And so you all are very familiar with the belly breath at this point. So that is your first strategy, which is I want you to think about how you feel when you're in a state of overwhelm. Like, what's something that feels overwhelming to you right now? Can write it down, you can picture it in your mind, but I want you to connect with that feeling of overwhelm. Close your eyes. Take 3 to 5 deep belly breaths. Those deep, right? Chest stays flat, belly expands, breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth slowly. This literally relaxes, right, your nervous system and takes you out of even that low level stress state, fight or flight, into neutrality. A couple more deep breaths. If you can, exhale longer than you inhale or hold a count or two after the exhale. It actually pushes more carbon dioxide to your brain, and the research shows that actually has a calming effect, which is very interesting, which is why you have all those different breathing techniques. Do you feel different when you do that? I call it the baby breathing or the Buddha breathing. I mean, if you lay a baby down on a bed, like naked, and they breathe, they only breathe through their belly. That deep, oxygenated, relaxing, calming, non-caveman breath. That's how babies breathe. And then, you know, they give them to grown-ups and we do what we do. We send them to kindergarten, they learn to breathe shallow like the rest of us. So step one is, can we sit in the space of breathing? Because that stops the conditioned triggered response between stimulus, whatever is bugging you, whatever has surfaced, and the story that it's triggering. If Christian is sitting there and then he looks at his task list, or that he gets one more new client, right? Or Adam's like calling me last year, like, oh my God, I have more clients than I can handle. Like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we're going to breathe. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to implement a waiting list because no one's going to die. And we did, right? And no one died. But high quality problem still feels overwhelming because Adam, consciously, I can't turn it off. Why? Because subconsciously, somehow I'll never be able to turn it back on. Bad things will happen. I did all this work. I did all that stuff. Why don't be below it now? And so those are the stories that are constantly running in our head. And so when we breathe, we give ourselves permission to remember this, which is, how do we want to feel instead? So in this space of calm, grounded breath, how do you want to feel, Doug? Julie, Bridget, Joseph, how do you want to feel? I want to feel clear. I want to feel calm. I want to feel confident. I want to feel like I'm empowered to take agency over my business and my life so that I can show up in ways that support me, the people that I love, and my work on this planet to the utmost without diluting my gifts. That's how I want to feel every day. Doesn't mean I get to feel that way every day, right? But that's also the choice part. What is the way that you want to feel? Instead of overwhelm, what's the alternative? Think about those times when you feel great and groovy and things flow. Now breathe into that state, Michael, Jill, Michelle, breathe into it, Alexa. That state is yours. It's just energy. It's just where you sit from a state. It's your brain, your frequency saying, this is where I'm getting clear and conscious. Sure. And then I'm going to make choices about how I respond to the situation. It might mean that there is more work to do on my task list than there is time. And I will need to account for that. I might need to call clients and say, hey, we've had an unusual number of clients with issues, and in an attempt to get to everyone as quickly as we can, we're also finding that we want to make sure we take the time to do it right. And as we sort of prioritize urgency of needs, we wanted to let you know that we're dealing with some more immediate priorities, but would it be okay if we got back to you in the next 3 or 4 weeks over the next month to deal with this issue? Do you know what clients say 99.9% of the time? Yes, because you're not going to call them if it's urgent, right? So 80% of what Adam used to tell people he needed to do tomorrow is stuff that he right now has a whole system that defines when it gets done. So there's a lot of causation to why we are in that. The story is I have to do it now or something bad will happen, as opposed to, right, letting the system or the structure define that. So how do you reframe that overwhelm from this place, right? What's happening is I have too much to do, or I'm overwhelmed by saying no or something else. What's happening really is that there's a story surfacing from behind that fear, and it's overwhelming because our caveman brain, not our conscious brain, is sitting in that seat. And our job is to breathe, get conscious of the cycle, and then take charge of it. So here's a visual that I hope will help you. There is a cycle to overwhelm. Adam does not wake up and go, I'm happy today, tomorrow I'm overwhelmed. It doesn't work that way. It's like, right, winding gears, right, or a clock, which is when you start, everything's good. And then there's some kind of event, right? The things that tell myself, like, what is happening before X marks the spot? There's some charged event, we'll call it, hence the lightning bolt. What's happening just before the X is what I want you to pay attention to. If you get overwhelmed by your task list, is it the markets? Is it your marketing? Is it your staff? Is it your work-life balance? What happens just before the X that is charged? Is it not, you know, oh, I got those prospects and I just didn't know how to say no? Is it conflict with a staff member? Is it, right, lots of insecurity around picking a niche? Like, what around that sense of overwhelm was charged before you hit the oh shiznit moment, as we like to call it around here, right? Oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this. I can't take it anymore. So that's the moment, right? My coach used to call it the oh crap moment, right? Then X is your response, right? You have that moment. And then the arrow that follows that, Nick, that's your response. So that strategy is often, I will work harder. I will work late. I will do whatever I need to do to right the ship and not feel overwhelmed anymore, Tara. And then you catch the arrow on the backside where things are okay for a while. And then we get into that state of compromising or accommodating or pleasing or not, right? It's okay. And we make the series of choices that got us there. And then what happens? Somewhere along the way, Jill and Joshua, there's going to be another triggering event. And we're going to be like, okay, I can manage this. I can manage this. I can manage this. And then boom, I can't manage it anymore. And so notice your cycle, because we all have one. It might be minor, it might be major, depending on how you answered those questions around regularity, frequency, and intensity. But overwhelm is a state that we become conditioned to because we've been in a pattern of behavior and habits for a long time persistently. That stress habit, that I'm not in charge habit, that I have to, I can't, I shouldn't, I don't know how. When you feel disempowered, I don't care how smart, brilliant, attractive, or rich you are, when you feel disempowered and there are a series of things coming at you, you will ultimately very quickly feel overwhelmed, because that is the feeling of overwhelm. It's a feeling of disempowerment. I am not empowered to improve my situation. If we recognize there's a cycle, Bob, what do we get to figure out? That we are empowered to improve our situation. This is not just stuff that is happening to you. This is a cycle that you have learned to sit in. So, tools for when you're in overwhelm. One, breathe. Literally, no joke. Breathing is the connection, according to Harvard, if you don't believe me. You ever have those times where you're like feeling really anxious and stressed out and your brain, and you're like, there's no reason for this. This makes no sense. It's not logical. It's because your mind and your body are literally in a state of disconnect. Your body's in that anxious fight or flight state. And your brain is like, well, hold on a minute. And we want to create that connection or integration. Breathing integrates mind and body. It creates space, I call it. So that we actually sit in the control center and go, what's going on? Take that 360 view and then decide from our values and our vision what vehicle we're going to get in to address the issue, as opposed to just, right, jumping in the clown car and going because the buzzer went off. Breathing is your best friend. Truly. Two, get out in nature. I love just walking the dog. The dog is my new commute. I was like, I'm in this house too much. Not that I don't love you and all my Zoom calls, but I was like, my energy just feels funky. So I started a new, it's called Axel Commute on my calendar. So I walk the dog. That's, if I worked in an office, I would drive my car. So I drive Axel to the park and back. That's how I start my day, right? That's how I'm ending my day, creating good routine. Routines are a great antidote for overwhelm, by the way, because everything has to fit in the structure or the system. And if it doesn't, it will surface. Walk around, right? Sit in a different space. I will sometimes go in the media room, which is right over there, turn on some songs, sit cross-legged for just a couple of minutes and be like, I just need a brain break because it's just too compounding. It's just too much information, too much time on the calendar. Like, I've just been in it too long. Like, I just need to get to my creative happy space. Like, all of this is really about awareness and intention. Do one easy thing. Your brain gives you happy chemicals. It gives you serotonin and dopamine. That's why you check email. Don't make it email. It's like sugar. It's bad. It feels good. Really, it's like a lollipop. It tastes really good, but it's bad for you. Right? Keep an on my minds list. What are the things that you need are worried about, Anne, that you can write down? Like, why can't I figure this out? Okay, write that down so your brain can release it. Put your phone in airplane mode if you need to do that, right? Our longtime favorite, identify the story that's stuck in you in the first place. I was talking with one of you before this call, and the conversation was around boundaries. Where are there missing boundaries here that you're accommodating because you're not putting boundaries in place? And why wouldn't you put boundaries in place when you know that what's happening doesn't feel good and isn't working? Like, why would you not do that? Oh, because we have stories that are stucking us. Can you focus on, right, Dan Sullivan, to Adam's point, is brilliant guy. He wrote the book Gap and Gain, brilliant book, right? It's our version above the line, below the line. That's all it is, success state. It's like what you focus on expands. If you focus on that you have these tasks and you're empowered to solve it, then you have tasks that you're empowered to solve. And if you focus on the fact that you have a task of tsunami that's kicking your ass, you're going to leave that office feeling like you got your ass kicked. That's just the way your brain works. Can you clean your desk? Not to distract yourself, right? But can you look at your calendar? Like, can you really start to pull the levers of things that are going to create change? Most important, to Adam's point earlier, can you ask for help? Can you say to your spouse, hey, I'm looking at my schedule this week. I could really use some help here. Hey, to your team. Hey, you know what? I'm feeling really overwhelmed by everything on my list. Can we look at what's a priority and what's not? Can we do some resetting to kind of right size my week so that I can come into it feeling clear and confident and empowered? If your staff says no, then you need to evaluate your staff. Other than that, they're probably going to really appreciate that you're operating with a level of clarity and consciousness that you may not have before. You are always empowered to address the overwhelm, which is what I want you to know. It's just different strategies than the ones you've been using. You're using problem-solving strategies that require a lot of work on the back end. What we're proposing is that you use proactive strategies use that energy in a clear and conscious way to make different aligned decisions on the front end. And then you get to recapture and recoup all of that lost energy into the direction of the things that you want. That's the inspired action. That's the hockey stick that you guys see here and talk about. That's where it's coming from. Does this resonate with you guys in terms of where you are? I see lots of nodding and writing. But I also want you to know, like, where is a time where you manage the impossible? So I want you to drop in the chat, or actually I'm going to ask you guys, like, Doug, Bob, Scott, Tara, can you think of a time that you've managed the really hard?
Because it couldn't have been managed if it was impossible. So yeah, I've managed some hard tasks.
How did you do it? Like, what's the secret? Like, how did you go from big ass problem to I got this?
Usually by prioritizing the things that needed to be done and when they needed to be done by, as well as a lot of collaboration.
Yeah.
So reaching out.
And I had to create presence for myself because you can't set priorities. You should not set priorities from a not present place, right? So when we hit that crack in the overwhelm, it's when we stop and we're like, oh my God, it's too much. That's when we get present because we have to get real. Like, it's not working. And like, now it's not working. And we have to have the honest conversation that we should have already had with ourselves, which is I have to address something. If we're talking about past lists, like Doug is, what he might be addressing is, right, priorities and creating a structure and then ultimately talking with people and engaging that. If it's a conflict with a partner, that might look like something very different. So Doug, if you've done it once, what does that imply?
It can be done again and again and again and again.
Right. So is there a problem that you guys cannot solve? If a bomb drops from the sky or aliens come, like, we're all in the boat on that one. But I'm talking about just your average run of the mill, welcome to being in business for yourself problems. Do any of us really have any wildly new problems? No. Are we in a community of almost 200 people who are in there, done it, been there, willing to work it out with you? Absolutely. So we all have these moments, but I really just want to surface the evidence that when you're in your power, you feel great. So Bob, can you think of a time where you dealt with something really hard and how did you navigate it? It's not if you've got a trainer. It is. You want the answer to, you want the honest answer to that question? One, my trainer, I love this about my trainer, which is he says pain is just weakness leaving the body. And I would like to point out that's really true. Super duper true. Pain of all kinds is just weakness leaving the body. But when you think about what you talked about, Bob, and if you really listen to what Bob said is when I'm working out, I bring discipline. Discipline by definition is the ability to give up something that you want now for something that you want more later. When it comes to working out, Bob is willing to give up feeling comfortable and cushy now and putting that yummy donut in his face and to actually make himself hurt on purpose because what he wants more is, why do you do that, Bob? Right. So values, vision. The why is bigger than the what if. Every single time, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find that I'm so reliably boring. Bob, now let's talk about the business. If we're not applying that same discipline, it means that the relationship between giving up something now for something we want later is broken. Like that disconnect in vision and values is there. There's a what if that's bigger than the why. That's usually shows up in the form of resistance or a story because it's bigger. than the why until you surface it. And so the question is, you want to live longer, be healthy, right? Be around for your, like you have this vision of, and you value health and well-being. What is the breakdown in the business with that discipline equation? That's the question. Like, that's the answer is, what's your vision? What's the value? When Adam said, my vision for my life is to provide for Andrea and my kids in a way, the girls in a way that I feel good about, like Adam, it was almost like the sky parted, right? It was like instantaneous. The perception was that quick. Because suddenly that why, and that's the piece with the breakdowns in the business. Overwhelm is a story that's sitting in that space of that why isn't big enough. We aren't clear on where those breakdowns are. Bob knows what he needs to do to get to the vision and values of health and well-being and an awesome body, right? He goes to the gym, he does that. If we don't know, if we don't think we can't, we shouldn't, and we don't know how, what happens every time? If you think you can't, you think you shouldn't, stories, or you don't know how, you will stop unless you were duly inspired. Adam had to have a moment of inspiration, right? Pain is also the rapid absorption of learning. He heard something that hurt so bad that he was like, I will figure this out. I can't have that again. I cannot hear that again. So Bob, it's not that pressing when you're comfortable. That's the challenge. When you're comfortable is, what is my behavior in service of? Lots of good stuff. What's it costing me still, right? Where is overwhelm showing up? What's that costing me? And then you can get to the strategy, the structure, and ultimately the system. Your system for health and well-being is paying a trainer. Your system for, right, successful, happy work is being in limit. Like, what's that next level of system? And so that's where we talk about fear is what's behind the overwhelm, but we've got to figure out what we have to account for because that's our roadmap for change. Does that help, Bob? It's not comfortable, but it does answer the question, right? It's that, what are you giving up now? Right? You feel like when you make these choices, whatever they are, that you're giving up something that you don't want. Like, you're like, yeah, this is way more comfortable. Like, so the values in that, it's that tongue in the mouth and the tongue in the shoes thing. And so it's, where isn't it working for you? And what's that roadmap for change? Does that help? You're welcome. Tara.
Mine was when I went through my divorce, and a lot of what you said already. One was, it got so bad that I had to get real and make some different choices. And one step at a time, you know, like, what can I let go of? Putting myself first and making those smart choices. But figuring out the smart choices can feel hard, I guess, is part of it.
Yeah. Like, you're like, well, if I knew, I would have already done it. I guess I don't know. So then your brain, like, I'm dumb, or I'm this, or I'm that, or like, whatever, I'll just go over here and find some strategy to work over it that doesn't feel nearly as bad. Mm-hmm. Right. But what I heard Tara say, and we heard it earlier too, but this is the core of all things, which is the first thing that Tara had to do to get to that place of working out of her overwhelm was deserving. She said, I had to get to a place where I felt like I deserved to be in a different situation. So if you don't think that you deserve the next level of happiness, success, joy, and abundance, your brain will not allow you to give it to yourself. It's just not how your brain works. And so if you're working hard and you're efforting and you're doing all the things and you're like, wow, right? Then the core question is, do I feel enough? Do I feel worthy? Do I feel deserving? Do I feel like things are always going to work out for me? And I understand what it's like to sit on the other side of that, to feel lacking and not enough. And like, you're never, ever going to be worthy. And like, no matter what you do, you are somehow not doing wrong, but being wrong. Feeling like you are being wrong is the worst feeling on the planet. And we just go there so quickly. But when you recognize how capable and how empowered and how deserving you are, I finally just had to get to a place where I just said, I've been through a lot of shit. I think that makes me extra deserving of joy and love and abundance because I'm the kind of person who actually wants to give it back to people in spades. So I'm going to go ahead and put on the hat of, I definitely deserve it.
Like, can I ask Yeah, do you feel like most people make that shift quickly? Like you said, Adam, kind of the skies parted, and or is it more a gradual process?
Well, I'm going to let Adam answer that question because I think deserving is an evolution. I think it starts with a revolution,
yeah,
but it's supported by an evolution. But I'm going to let Adam, I'd love to get Adam's perspective on how he went through that.
Yeah, that's a hard, I'm trying to remember and think. I mean, I'll never, that moment, and my wife and I, ironically enough, we're just talking about over the weekend, that one moment is forever etched into my brain as being kind of the tipping point of it. But I sometimes ask myself, well, why is that? Because I was already committed to Limitless. I was already in, I was already working on it. I knew what I was solving for quantitatively. I think that probably attached the most emotional, baggage, I guess, is the first word that comes to mind. And that's the hard part that I think of as a coach when we talk to advisors is, what is your big why? And that's the hard part for us is when we hear variations on, well, I'm not really sure what my why is, or I think I have a why, but there's a disconnect between the why and the what if, right? And until you reach that point, until you find that what if, that why, it's easier for the what ifs to just continue to kind of pound down whenever you face a little bit of friction, a little bit of resistance to do something that you haven't done before. I know that's not the direct answer of, oh, well, if you just do this, then you'll find your big why. That's what I'm looking for. And I just don't have that. but for me, it was a little bit of a chicken and the egg type thing, because like I said, we were committed to Limitless. I was committed to that. I knew what I was solving for. But it took that one moment to be kind of the rocket fuel that just, you know, match meet fuel, and for us is continuing to be written as history.
I like to say that change is, I mentioned this earlier, it's a revolution. The decision is revolutionary. The discipline is evolutionary.
Yeah.
Right. Adam's why was so big that really carried him through to, can I be accountable to write systems and structures, setting a minimum, holding to a minimum, doing an analysis, charging enough based on that analysis? Yes, because the energy of that why was more powerful than the overwhelming feelings of the what if and the fear and the uncertainty and the doubt. And that has to be backed up, Tara, every day, which is why we talk about, right? What's your daily routine? You know, are you catch and correct? I still to this day catch and correct, like, oh, look, I'm feeling overwhelmed. It really means this. Like, oh, you know, like, because every time that you up level, you're challenging. It's like a muscle. If I go from 10 pounds Bob to 20 pounds, I'm going to feel that extra weight. And then my body, my muscles are going to tune to it, right? Over time, Bridget. And then one day that 20 pounds is going to, like, stuff that used to flip me out, I'm like, whatever, people, peace out. Right? But it doesn't mean there aren't things that I still don't go, oh, wow, I feel reactive. I'm like, wow, I feel reacted. I think I'm going to sit on that one for a little bit because I'd really like to not do or say something stupid. Like, okay, I can sit in that space for 5 minutes, right? So it's a muscle where you go, hey, you know what? I'm really clear that my expectation is, and when I'm not having that experience, I will stand in a space of awareness and I will account for it. That is a better strategy, a new and better strategy than overwhelm. Because what we're really asking you to do is, can we sit in a place where we notice it and replace it? Hey, I noticed the whirly wheel going. I better sit in that space and take a second of breath. Wow, I'm running straight into a meeting. I don't have a lot of time. You always have 10 seconds to take. You know, every time that I don't take the 10 seconds and I show up and I do a call or I do a web, I'm like, oh man, if I had just taken that 10 seconds, it would have been like 10 times more amazing. I always know. You guys never know. I always know. And then what's the natural response when I know it? Should have done, right? Should have got all overwhelmed. Like, no, like, okay. Like, no, take the 10 seconds, staff. So now I take the 10 seconds. Sometimes I get to take more, but I always try to take the 10. Right? So that's just a simple strategy and structure. So Tara, for you and for everyone else, the decision to not live in a state of overwhelm is a deeply it's an emotional decision. Like, I deserve more and better. This is not what I signed up for. When I said I want to start a business, I did not mean I want to turn myself inside out on a daily basis, trying to serve all my damn stories so much that I don't ever show up for myself, the people that I love, or my work on this planet without diluting my gifts. Like, stop. You know that I say that because I say it to myself all the time. That's what I say. Like, just stop. Don't dilute yourself for the people that you love or your work on this planet. You just can't do it anymore. And that's the accountability piece. So disrupt the feeling state is step one. That's breathing, that's walking, that's catch and correct, so that you can then replace it with that clear, calm, present state, right? Above the line, empowered. If that means you take some time later in the day, it means you journal, it means you call your coach, it means you talk to your mastermind or your spouse and just say, hey, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. I just need to process this. Sit down with your team. Hey, there's more than I think we can do. Can we talk through how we might, what will it take to solve for this? Because you're all intelligent, capable, caring, committed people. And I know that you have all done really difficult things when you've had to, or you've wanted to so badly that you were willing to step over the what ifs that stopped you, right? So that's why vision and values are so compelling, because that's the thing that will kick that overwhelm story. So tools to keep you out. How often do you say no compared to yes? Adam and I were just talking about this. You get to a point when you get successful, it just feels kind of sad and sucky because you get all these opportunities and you have to say no to like 99% of them. It's really hard because your brain is like, it's good, we should do it. But what it forgets to tell you is we just only have to do one great thing to have that really awesome effect. Right, track your time for a week. Where is it really going? Where is it really going? So like, have you organized that, right? Michael Kitsis and I talk about this, like 20% of our time goes here, 20% of our time goes there. They're like, where is your time going strategically, right? How much is marketing? How much is leadership and team? How much is, right, client work? Again, we've got lessons that support all of that, but until you get to the place of being empowered, you won't put the calendar or the same box or the boomerang or chunking your time in place, because we will live in the land of magical thinking. Whether it's that if I just be nice to my partner, it'll work out, or if I just ask my staff 17 more times, it'll be okay, or if I just keep putting things on the task list and moving them, eventually they will get done, right? These are all excuses that we make in lieu of results. Right. And so when you get really clear that overwhelm is just a state of mind and a state of being, then you can make changes. One, are you taking care of yourself? Protect the asset, as Atomic Habits, right? And you are the asset. Rule number one, Tara, you are the asset. Michelle, you are the asset. Nick, you are the asset. It's so trite and cliche, but are you sleeping? Are you drinking enough water? Are you eating healthy? Like, if you're not doing those things, you're going to compromise your mental energy, your state, your physical energy, and we don't show up our best when we operate from these places. So our tendency, our strategy for overwhelm tends to be work harder and longer and put ourselves at the bottom of the list. And that is, according to experience and research, the absolute thing that will ensure that you are least empowered to improve your situation for you and for anyone else. So here's what we've really talked about. If it's a model that helps you, one, step one is awareness. Know your cycles and triggers. What's my cycle? I put too much on my list. I avoid the conversation. I procrastinate around getting the project work done. Like, what is the cycle? How's it showing up for you? Two, separate facts from your personal stories. I hate marketing. I suck at marketing. This is never going to work for me is entirely different than, well, if I'm realistic, I don't have a very clear niche and I haven't defined my strategy and I haven't executed consistently for a year. I was just hoping it would work and it hasn't. I'm all pissed off about it. Right? Like, that's entirely different than the facts. Action. What are your go-to strategies? When overwhelm hits, Angela, what will you do? Will you pause? Will you take the breath? Will you meditate? Will you journal? Will you ask for help? Will you, like, how do you stay in that zone where you have the ability to say, oh, this is a priority, to Adam's point. And I'm probably going to want to put this over, like, hey, and you know what? I'd love to schedule this meeting, but I'm going to need to give it to Sue because, right, she's the one that makes sure that the trains run on time here. Could I transfer you over to her? Like that's just a technical strategy. Like I hate saying no, or like we always joke, if there's a breakdown in the process, it's because I did it, right? If I schedule, I'll be the first person to be like, every time, ask Lisa, who scheduled this way? Every time Lisa's like, you did. And I'm like, oh, and she's like, so what's the code that I can put in here for when you do these things? And I'm like, never mind, I got you. Right. So it's those moments of like, how do we create that system for ourselves? What are those go-to strategies? Right. So I just don't schedule things for myself because I just care too much. I try too hard. And I want y'all to have the best tomorrow. And that just doesn't work every day. Right. So someone else has to be the filter on that pipeline. And then achievement, like, how do you get to a place where you can continue to refine your awareness and your personal practices to stay in a clear, empowered state, not all of the time, but way more of the time? How about not 70% of the time? How about 70% of the time we're empowered and 20 or 30% of the time we're stuck or struggling, right? And we can elevate that, but the goal is to find your next personal bar. What does that look like for you? So I want you to ask yourself this question. We've talked a lot about overwhelm. That's probably overwhelming. Now I have to go fix my overwhelm problem. That's not overwhelming. Take that breath. And just imagine a future where overwhelm doesn't overtake you on a regular basis, where you get to drive meaningful growth towards your vision. You get to do energy creating, revenue producing work that you love in a not necessarily lackadaisical way, right? But in a like a powerful, productive, not manic, frantic way. What does that look like for you? What does it look like? Then the question becomes, what's the gap between here and there? Where can you create leverage in your marketing, in your operations, in your systems, in your people, process, and platforms, in your branding, in your packaging? Where are the breakdowns that are creating the overwhelm? Are you working with too many clients for too long, for too little? Right? Are you doing free work for people that, you know, you just don't know how to say, ooh, I'm so sorry, I should have been charging you. Like, it's not just overwhelm is not a task list problem. It's just the way that it tends to manifest itself that we are very familiar with. Overwhelm is a state of being where you don't feel empowered to improve your situation. And so if you're really clear on what you want it to look and feel like, you, Sheena, are always empowered to say, how do I sit in that gap? And what do I need to account for? And then the work is, as Tara pointed out, that's the immediate revolution. Oh, crap, I need to deal with this. The evolution is, can I have the discipline, put the strategy, the systems, the structure, the staff, whatever it is in place to hold me accountable, whether it's a coaching program or a mastermind or a buddy or a personal coach or a personal assistant or an operations manager? Like, what is that level of accountability that we need to bring that level of discipline to the practice? And to you as a person, because what I know is they are inseparable. If you're having a bad day and fighting with your spouse, it's going to show up when you walk into the office, right? If you're really insecure about raising your fees, it's going to show up when you're talking with your team. And so overwhelm is really about, how do we get from a state of feeling disempowered to a state of genuinely and truly feeling empowered about our circumstances? So we've got another 5 or 10 minutes. And with that, I know we've kind of talked and chatted, but I will stop there and see what questions you guys have. Does this resonate with you? You guys are very quiet today, which either means we're really onto something or this was really bad and you're entertaining me. Which at any point, anyone can just say it was the former, not the latter. No, just kidding. So how does this sit with you? Nick, when you think about it, and you process, right, the last hour, hour and a half, like, what are your key takeaways? And as you think about that, what are your key notes? I want all of you to do this with Nick. What are your 2 or 3 key notes? Andrew, William, as you think about this, like, because we just talked about a lot. If you go back, you'll get 19 more things. But what are the 2 or 3 that really stuck with you? That's what surfaces first. Start there. That's your intuition, your brain, your neuroscience going, Alexa, this is what really resonates with us right now. So Nick, for you, what are those 2 or 3 takeaways where you're like, that really makes sense to me? I might need to course correct here a little bit. Mr. Fuller, sorry. Great. So what's one structure you can put in place relative to a place where you feel overwhelmed specifically? Right. And this is where those stories will kick in. I can't trust outsourcers. It's going to cost too much. No one can do it as good as me. Those are all stories. Doesn't mean it's the right solution for everyone forever, but those are all stories that sit in between you and taking action. So when those stories surface, that's the awareness piece of what you want to check so that you ask yourself, what is my roadmap for change? Like, what do I actually need to do to stop feeling overwhelmed and to start taking ownership of my situation? So I think that's great, right? So putting some structure in place and outsourcing tasks to free up time so that you can focus on those energy creating activities. All right, who else? Yes, William. Yes. Right, and it does. Well, and so look, we're all getting ready to get ready, right? So when you're ready, you will implement it. As my mother-in-law likes to say, when he's had enough, he'll get up from the table. She's a very wise woman, very wise woman. She's also a really good cook. She was here last week and like we enjoyed very much of it. Right, so for William, it was putting the Asana structure in place to create that prioritization system, right? To create a structure for those ideas and those projects to filter through, so that his subjective feeling in the moment was not the gating factor for whether we do, or that's why the quarterly business reviews and things like Asana are very helpful, because you're retraining your brain that instead of reacting to circumstances or even amazing opportunities, that we're responding through the lens of our very reliable system that will make sure if we follow it, that we don't get overwhelmed, right? So Asana is really cool because it integrates with calendar. So I love time blocking on my calendar, because then people know when my calendar's full. Task lists really don't do you that service. They just grow. So you can look at my calendar on any given day and see exactly where it fits. You can see exactly how much overflow, right? That just goes into a certain spot, because there's always overflow, by the way. I always have something or idea. It's just whether it's in the parking lot, whether it's in right active overflow, like it's in there, where it's like core things, the core commitments. Those things always get scheduled, right? And they're scheduled a quarter in advance so that I know how much time I have for those other things. So whether it's a scheduling structure or something else, right? Staffing, right? Not checking email. For Adam, it started with like setting his fees, working with the right clients, right? Picking his niche, because dealing with all those clients and all that work for not all that much money was, no matter who you are, how smart or capable or caring you are, it's going to be overwhelming because the math just doesn't pencil. So is this a fact, right? A method issue where you've got to look at your clients or your fees, or is your staff really in the right spot? Like, what are the content and the facts as we talked about? And then what's feeling that's really driving that overwhelm conversation? And how can you reconcile that with the facts in a way that you can get clear, get focused, and start to take actions that instead of being overwhelmed, you are genuinely empowered? Not perfect. Doesn't mean that your time is always like organized to the T, but it means that you're moving in the direction that you want, that you've got a disciplined approach, and that you've got a strategy for managing yourself, your relationship with yourself and your time and the things that you have said yes to in a way that is in service of you, the people that you love, and this work on your work on this planet. And when we do that, that is when we really lean into being limitless. So I really hope that today's conversation about overwhelm was impactful for you, because I know it's one of the most impactful conversations for me. With that, you guys have a fabulous day. Go forth, get clear, breathe, and believe that you are empowered to make the changes that you need to. Make it a great week, ladies and gentlemen. Go you.